In this world we live in, there's runners and there's fighters. All your fists is on fighter, and I know one when I see one.
All right, get out of bed. Get ready to get your brain moving a little bit. Scotty, thanks for listening to the podcast. This one's going to hopefully get you a little motivated to change some of your habits. So this step of the four-step program is with Lee Richardson. She's the head of the Brain Performance Center, and she wrote a new book. It's called Turn Your Brain On and Get Your Game On. And this, I don't know how many of you like me, and you look for all these life hacks and how to have more energy and be wittier and get the most out of your day. Or maybe those times you don't feel like doing anything. How do you turn that around? And she talks a lot about that. She talks a lot about the physical and mental connection with the brain, dealing with anxiety, stress management, motivation. Also how not only sleep, but also our lifestyle choices like social media or TV, internet gaming, all of that stuff affects our brain and how we can get the most out of our day every single day. So I'll let her tell you more about it. It's Lee Richardson. Turn Your Brain On, Get Your Game On is the name of the book. I appreciate you coming on. I was reading through your book the last couple nights, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm doing everything wrong in my life. So I'm glad to hear you were here to talk about it.
Well, thank you for having me.
Look, your book is called Turn Your Brain On and Get Your Game On. That's really exciting because I think a lot of people want this like magic pill, that limitless pill.
Absolutely.
Right.
And everybody wants to be invisible.
Yeah, and there's a lot of those kind of little bit hacks in your book, but it's more about lifestyles, and I want to talk a lot about those. Turn Your Brain On and Get Your Game On essentially means what?
Well, it means everything you do, everything you don't do, how well you do it, all depends on how your brain is working, how those neurons and dendrites are wiring and firing, because sometimes our brain gets into a dysregulated state, and to me, the brain is off. And that can be, you know, with the power. We all have slow, medium, and fast waves, and we need them all. But we need the right amount. The coherence, how the brain shares information. If your brain is oversharing information or undersharing information, your game's not playing real well. And then there's the phase. You know, is it too fast? Is it too slow? So to get the most you can out of your brain, to improve your personal and your professional life, get your game going. Get your brain on.
But I want to talk about some of the things that like you can really control simply by changing your habits. So one of the things that I know anybody that knows me would say, I don't get enough sleep. And you have a whole chapter of how sleep impacts your brain. Can you touch on that a little bit?
Absolutely. You know, sleep is your foundation. It really is. And it's important to the brain because all day long you've got these neurons and dendrites and they're wiring and firing and they're creating toxic waste. And the only time these little glial cells can come out, they're like little scrubbing bubbles. They come out and they just kind of, they clean all that up is when you're asleep. So if you're not getting restful sleep and you're not getting enough of it, your brain is not in an optimal performance mode.
And what does that mean, optimal sleep? Is it different for everybody, or is there kind of a basis? Because do people function differently, I guess? Like, do I feel like I can say, well, I can do this on 4 hours of sleep, or am I pretty much lying to myself?
Well, I hear a lot of people say that. You know, oh, 4 hours is all I need. 5 hours and I'm good. And I do think that, you know, some people, everybody's, the timing in the brain is different. The metabolism is different.
Right.
But for the most part, we need around 7 hours of sleep.
Oh, my God.
As adults.
How many people actually get 7 hours of sleep?
How many hours of sleep do you get, Scotty K?
Really, it is around that four, maybe 4.5 hour range.
Wow, because when you ask how many get seven, I'm like, well, I do.
Do you? I do. I also wake up at, you know, 3 o'clock or 3:30 every morning. So I'd have to go to bed at like 8 or 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock, or I guess, I don't know if I'm doing the math right. But yeah, about 8 o'clock to get that kind of sleep. And that is such a hard thing to do.
Well, it is hard because I get up at 4:45 every morning.
Okay, so you're in bed.
So I'm in bed by 9:30, and it is hard. I mean, and it also sounds very boring, but it's important for me to get up and go to the gym and get my workout in,
right.
And then, you know, go to work with my clients, and it is worth it to me.
Yeah, and you do talk a lot about that. The idea of exercising your mind or your body's, you know, helps your brain. You have to exercise both, and doing the physical activity will help the brain. What about something that I think we all lean on a lot is caffeine and energy drinks and coffee. As far as that being a positive, a negative, something that you should or shouldn't be doing. You talk a lot about that too.
Well, I do, and I think, you know, anything in moderation, and that's the key. And with coffee, if you're drinking, you know, a cup of coffee in the morning, my goodness, there's nothing wrong with that. If you start your coffee at 6 a.m. and you end it at 6 p.m., that's bad. That's such a nervous system. I mean, and then you wonder, why can't I go to sleep at night? You know? And not everybody is sensitive to caffeine, but most of us are. And the energy drinks are, in my opinion, are more stimulating to the brain and to the body than caffeine, because caffeine is part of them, but they've got a whole lot of other synthetic chemicals in them as well.
Right. So what, is it okay, you know, you say it's okay to start your day with the caffeine. Is it something that you should try not to do?
No, I think, again, anything in moderation, if it's a cup of coffee in the morning, because for some people, it's much about the hot, having something nice and hot in the morning, you know, to kind of wake up with, and it's part of their routine. I get up, I have a cup of coffee. So with the caffeine comes a lot of other things.
Right.
That add value.
Which is why decaf exists.
Exactly.
I like to read about the lifestyle stuff, too, because I think that's a big, as the world evolves, everybody is on social media and watching TV and internet gaming. A lot of those things, how those affect your brain and your productivity. And because you hit it on the, in the book, too. You said a lot of people, well, that's my place to kind of decompress. And it makes me feel like I can step away when I go into that world a little bit. So as far as let's start with social media and TV. As life choices.
Well, let's start with social media because, you know, social media has changed society. It's made it into a comparative society because every time you get on social media and you're looking at what your friends or your, you know, your 500 friends that you've never met in real life, what they're wearing or the car they're driving or the place they went on vacation, you're like, wow, I've never been on a vacation like that. Mm. I'm never going to have a Ferrari, you know. So I think social media makes us compare. And I think anytime you compare, you have a winner and a loser. And I don't think that's the best way to view life.
What does that do to your, I mean, really the way your brain works? When you look at something and you feel like you are losing, is that something that causes depression? Does it cause, like, lack of motivation? Could it go the other way and motivate you more?
Well, I think, you know, you touch on a good point. It can go one or two ways. Because, you know, we start off with social media, and we start just doing a little bit of it when we like it.
Right.
And when we like something, the brain starts kicking out this dopamine neurotransmitters. And dopamine is a really, really feel-good neurotransmitter. And so we're like, ooh, I like that. I think I'll do that a little more. Mm-hmm. And it goes from a point of, I like that, to, I want that. And then those nerve cells get confused, you know, because it starts off, you do it and you want it and you get all this dopamine going and then you want it. And then guess what? You need it. And then it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a classic addiction.
It is. That is exactly, whether it's social media or alcohol or drugs. It is classic addiction. And, you know, brain waves are genetic, just like everything else in the body. So are some of us more prone towards that vulnerability? Absolutely. But when you start needing something, when you need your social media fix or you need your gaming fix and you're embarrassed to tell people how much time you spend doing it or you lie about it, oh, I only do it a couple times a day.
It's a red flag, huh?
A big red flag. Yeah. Or if you're thinking about when you're going to do it next while you're still doing it, that's an even bigger red flag.
I didn't even think of that. You know, internet gaming is such an interesting thing to bring up now because It's such a phenomenon that's not only something that now people do, adults that sit in their room and are these classic, you know, internet gaming nerds, but it is now there's esports and it's a big deal and it's very popular and it's going younger and younger and the kids are looking at it and it's being put in high schools as teams. And so as esports comes along,
you can get a college scholarship with those esports. Exactly.
And so when it comes to that kind of stuff, do you think that's a dangerous path for our like culture to go down?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at athletic scholarships, when everything is about balance, you've got to be able to balance it. It's just like people that burn out, you know, that they've got to do twice the amount of time practicing or run twice the laps that everybody else does. Hmm. And do they pull a muscle in a game or do they... they're more vulnerable to get hurt. If you're spending if you've got a gaming scholarship and you're spending all of your time on that, what's going to happen to your grades? And unfortunately, if you don't have the grades to support the scholarship, you're going to lose that. But, you know, I think of the real young generation, and they don't talk. They don't make telephone calls. They text.
Right. My 9-year-old texts me all the time, which is so weird.
But my question is how are you going to get a job? Are you going to text through an interview? Because you really do, when you're not having conversation, when you're texting, you don't learn how to pick up on the social cues. You don't learn to look for the body language.
Right.
You know, you're only getting the audio part of the whole transaction. And for me, what I see visually is just as important. If I walk up to you and say, "Hey, Scotty K, how you doing?" and you got your arms crossed and your ear pods in, okay, he doesn't want to talk to me right now.
Right.
So there's a lot of social cueing that I think that we're missing out on.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a weird place the world is in, because when you ask me, "Hey, are you going to get a job through text?" my first reaction was, possibly. Like, the world is kind of, you know, that we are kind of in a place where a lot of, you can have a doctor's appointment online, you know what I mean? Like, so the world is kind of in a weird place where you do have to have both of those skills. Do you think?
You do. I do. And I think that we're beginning to see that more and more. I mean, if you think about 15 years ago, for things like depression and anxiety, we didn't talk about that.
Right.
We'd go to the doctor, and the doctor, what doctors have been trained in is medication management. Well, you know what? There's this great new medication out.
Yeah.
And I think we've learned over the years that for some people, medication is great. For some people, it's not. For others, it creates side effects. And I think that, you know, we're starting to see that there's good and bad in every situation. And I think we're going to do that with social media. And I think we're going to do that with, you know, with the way that we communicate. It's like when you look at millennials and their values and the Gen X's, their values. I mean, it seems like what goes around comes around.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's always changing.
Yeah, what's old is new. It's like clothes, you know, the retro clothes are back in style. That's kind of, it's what happens with society and social cues and social trends.
Yep. I mean, I'm surprised that the younger population doesn't want a car. You know, they would rather they'll Uber anywhere they need to go. Oh my gosh, I don't know about you, but I can wait to get that first car.
Yeah, it's a big deal. You get first. It started with your first bike. Now the kids skip right over that, and then the first car is you just Uber. It's fine. Is it? Yeah. The world evolves, and I think it's so interesting. That's why I wanted to talk to you, because I do think that balance is needed probably more than anything nowadays.
Absolutely, anything in moderation. You know, I'm a big believer, and if you're interested in it, explore, be adventuresome. But you got to know how to set your boundaries and how to set your limits.
Do you think that's really important too with the kids, is making sure setting the limits and then sticking to them? Because I think that's the hardest thing as parents, is really following through on a consistency with rules and timing of games and screen time and things like that. Do you think that might be one of the most important things to be able to set with kids?
Absolutely. And I think the hardest thing for a parent is you have to be the role model. You have to modify your behavior to reflect what you what you're saying to them, and that's hard.
That's a great point.
When you're saying, put that phone down. You don't need to be on that phone. Do you pick up the phone and text them, come downstairs, dinner's ready?
That's really, yeah. It makes you think as you say that, and I just went, oh, gosh, she's so right. The last couple of things that were in the book that I think people should definitely check out, you have a chapter on motivation. You have a chapter on stress management, too. Can you just touch on motivation? Because I think a lot of people, that's, I know for me, I know for anybody, especially in a creative field that we're in, and probably any field, you want to do all these things, but you're like, oh my God, I don't feel like doing it right now.
What motivates a lot of people is reward. You know, they'll say, you know what, if I do this, this, and this during the week, I'm going to take myself out for the nicest lunch, or I'm going to buy that blouse that I've been looking for. So reward works with some people. With other people, it doesn't. And I think for those that motivation is hard for, you really need to work hard at staying attuned to what your personal needs are and asking yourself, are you doing something that brings you joy and gives you a sense of fulfillment? Because if you're not, you're not going to want to do it. And that's the hard part. You know, I can always tell you what I don't want. It can get a little bit harder for me to tell you what I do want.
Sure. And I do believe people look for the hacks for everything, right? And that's why I like your book, because you really kind of break it down. It's not a quick fix. It's not the limitless pill. You know, so many people, like, for even in the example of exercise, people are like, how do I get thin and look great? Well, you can sit there and say exercise and eat well. People are like, nah, I'm just going to spend, you know, $40 on apple cider vinegar and a waist trainer. That'll do it. You're like, no, there's no substitute for the hard work.
No, there's not, you know, and that, boy, did you hit the nail on the head. There is no substitute for the hard work. You just have to do it. But when you do it and when you take care of yourself, my motto for 2020 is self-care. Self-care is self-love, and self-love is self-discipline. And that's where the hard part comes in.
Get the book. Leah, I appreciate you coming on. The book is called Turn Your Brain On and Get Your Game On.
Thank you so much, Scotty, for sharing time with me.
Thank you so much for listening. Feel free to share the podcast with your friends, and let's be friends on social media @ScottyK on Air across all social medias.